Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Somewhere around midnight, in the minutes separating December 6th and December 7th, 2014, an unknown person set off a chlorine gas bomb at Midwest Fur Fest, the largest furry convention in the United States. 19 people were hospitalized. The event could properly be described as a terrorist attack. Folks could very well have been killed. The story was met with a mix of shock and ironic chuckles from tens of thousands of internet users. People gawked for a day or so, and then it faded into the background. The case was never solved, and the culprit is at large today. In September of 2019, almost 5 years later, basically a Nazi, Milo Yiannopoulos, registered to attend Midwest Fur Fest. He publicized this immediately, and the event was a clear attempt by a well-known troll to earn a few more precious hours of media spotlight by entangling himself in drama with a community mainstream journalists love to cover with wry grins on their faces. Convention organizers immediately rejected his application to attend and banned him from the premises. He threatened to show up anyway. Rumors began to circulate that the Proud Boys would be in tow, which led to rumors that Antifa, or perhaps furry Antifa, would also be in attendance. Somewhere in the middle of all this, the cast of Worst Year Ever decided Midwest Fur Fest was probably something we should attend. So we did, myself, Robert Evans, and my colleagues, Cody Johnston and Katie Stoll. We talked to several members of the fandom, and their interviews revealed a sprawling tale of a battle for the heart and soul of furrydom against many of the same forces currently threatening to tear American society apart. This episode is not the story of that battle, because holy shit, we really bit off more than we bargained for, and it's going to take us some time to get this together and force Daniel at Machete Point to edit it. But we put a little something together for you today to tide everybody over.
That's right. As we've been going through this, we've been recording our thoughts and our experiences. It's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain as to what's been happening here this weekend. If you follow us on Twitter, you've seen some posts about it. But, you know, we talk about our impressions and some of the stuff that we've learned and our experiences here. Yes, as you said, while we pour through all of the interviews and documents and chat logs that we have and put together the final polished piece, which will be released at a later date.
Yeah, hopefully in like a couple of weeks, not too long from now.
Yeah, we just want to make it, you know.
Good?
Good.
Yeah. I mean, good's the word. It's exciting. There was a point at sometime yesterday where I was like, ooh, this is going to take a little longer.
Yeah, it really came together and everything became clear on what was going on, and the story revealed itself, and it's a very interesting story that I think is relevant to everybody, and we're excited to tell it, but in the meantime,
here's our story of our experience in Chicago.
And this is not very political. This is not a normal episode of Worst Year Ever. You're not going to learn much about American politics from this. We think it's fun. There's some funny moments. If you enjoy us as people, you might enjoy this. We mainly wanted to have something together just so there wasn't an empty space this week and to let everybody know we did the thing. We got a story. It's going to be a sizable, like, little mini series.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, it's going to take us a little time to put it together.
And hopefully this little diary that we've done will give you some context to keep in mind as you are listening to the other episodes.
Yeah.
It's also, I think, this will be probably the first episode that is the best example of the show that exists so far.
Not this, but
not this.
For the love of God, not this. No, the actual thing we're putting together that isn't done now.
Yeah, so don't be put off by this. This specifically isn't your taste.
When we pitched this show, like, you know, we've been doing, you know, biographies of the different candidates, and we've done some specific issues, and we'll do more of that because this is a weekly show, and we can't go travel around the country every single week. We're not aware of enough different places to go to do that 50 something times next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to provide context. We want to have a base of episodes for people to listen to. Part of this is just us keeping ourselves informed, but the heart and soul of this show is explorations of different American subcultures and how this election and the increased politicization of our society has, like, affected and changed them. And, like, this is the first example of that that we've got.
And how they react, how they deal with it. And maybe, bits of information or tactics or just, like, nice little moments that can help you get you through the worst year ever.
Yep.
So enjoy this fun little interlude that's not too serious today, or not. The final product will be very different.
But please definitely come back for the next two episodes because I promise they are fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this one's fun.
This one's fun.
So fun.
This is silly. Those are fascinating.
Yeah.
We didn't get any audio of the fires. They were started. There were fires.
Okay. You guys are just ruining the surprises.
Spoilers.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
I don't know how to introduce this episode of the podcast. This will not be the first thing you've heard in this episode.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We're at Midwest Fur Fest 2019.
Yes.
December.
That's the month. 2019 is the year.
What day?
Well, you know what? What day is
it's
it?
It's a Thursday.
That's a great question.
It's a Friday now.
No, it's a Friday
December
now.
December is Thursday. The only Thursday in December, as far as I'm aware.
It's got to be the 5th.
Yeah.
Or 6th. Maybe it's the 6th.
It's the 6th now.
It's the 6th of December.
It was the 5th earlier.
When we were traveling here. Mm-hmm.
As you might be able to tell, this is our first audio diary from our trip to the convention. Our first field trip of the season. We're all drunk. We're all tired. We're all angry. Katie lost her phone in the lift.
I lost my phone in the lift. I left it there. I left
it.
Are we taking care of it, Cody?
Somebody might
so we're
be.
All
customer
angry
service
and
just hung up on Robert. It's been a whole
they
thing.
Did
it's been
that.
Bad. Thankfully, we got home and I was able to turn all the burners on in the stove.
A
repeatedly.
Few times.
You know what the worst part is? Now. Is I can't even check our steps to see how much we walked back and forth around that convention center.
It was
I'm
huge.
Appalled.
I'm appalled.
I feel like we should start with kind of our initial impressions on the convention. I felt walking out of the lift that took us there. I saw more people in fursuits than I had ever seen prior in my
ever,
life.
Yes.
Ever.
Instantly.
In like
instantly.
A second.
Yes. It was like, oh, this is the world now.
But I'll tell you what. It's surprising how quickly I became used to it.
Yeah, you just see them. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a nice one. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, then it becomes like, ooh, yeah, oh, it's a bird with a burlap sack labeled seeds.
Yeah.
Oh, that one was fun.
I like that one.
My favorite was the woman walking down the hallway, that walkway that we kept getting
very
lost
long
in.
Hallway.
Very long.
What's up with that, Chicago?
And she just was going, she was lovely. Mm-hmm. Everybody's so lovely.
Her
everybody
was very lovely.
Very nice people.
Was stopped by so many people. Just like it just interacted with so many people in a friendly way that you do not see at most conventions, certainly. But like, certainly not just around town in your life.
Yeah, it was it seems like generally just a very sweet group of people who are there to have a fun time and just a bunch of positivity.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think with that all in mind, I want to go through, so obviously like the big news heading into Midwest Fur Fest, the reason we're here, the reason there's any kind of attention outside of the community on this is that Milo Yiannopoulos, famous Nazi.
Alt-right provocateur.
He's on video Heil Hitler, and we'll call him a Nazi.
That's fair. He has chosen to display himself as such. I don't think he actually believes in anything.
But. Yeah, it's hard to say. He registered for the convention and then publicized that he registered for the convention so that everybody would talk about it. And then when he got kicked out of the convention because the people who organized it were like, we don't need this.
You're
like,
absolutely not. Hard pass.
Under no circumstances. He made a big stink about it and is apparently registered under someone else's name at the hotel and promising to show up. So we don't know what will happen.
And... Yeah. To be fair, he could show up in a furry costume.
Nobody
outfit.
Would know or care.
It's, I don't believe that they're called costumes.
It does sound like no one would care if he just showed up in costume.
Because, like, what's that even going to do?
What would the issue be?
But it doesn't seem like his vibe to show up here and not show up in a big way.
No. I take it back. I said earlier he doesn't believe in anything, but he does. He believes in getting attention.
He's a showman.
For himself. Yeah.
He believes in showmanship.
He believes in himself, kind of, even though he probably hates himself, too. But
yeah, and there's a couple interesting things. So one of the people that we communicated with prior to this has been infiltrating some of the... There's a couple of chunks of the furry community, which I'm sure we'll have covered in like a little bit of an intro at some point.
One assumes. Yeah, we have to assume. We did that.
We'll do our due diligence. The alt-furs is the term people tend to use for them. And they've been talking with him about like ways to smuggle him into the convention and stuff. And one of the things they talk about is that how the impossibility of keeping the culture of the convention the same and actually stopping him from getting in, even if he was in costume. So I want to read a quote from one of these conversations we found between these alt furs who support Milo, talking about what would happen if he were. Came in a costume and they tried to search people by having them remove the headpieces of their costumes. I don't know if Milo realizes just how important this dynamic is to fursuiters, but it will work strongly in his favor, even if he doesn't fully realize why. Some suitors are so into their character that it would be tantamount to violating their identity to ask them to remove their head. The transgender suitors would be a good example of this. So, like, there's this understanding with the people who are, like, urging this, that it would be like a violation. Someone called it a real life version of Papers, Please. Mm-hmm. And another commenter responded to that. And it will totally feel that way to every furry who gets stopped by con staff for a random spot check. The move to check everyone would completely destroy that con, like completely. So I'm under the assumption that they won't take those dramatic steps. They'll have to accept that someone is crashing the party and deal with the backlash that they'll get from the shitty 8% of the fandom. There's this acknowledgement that like they can't stop us or they'll destroy the hobby. And then there's a post from Milo from a couple of days earlier on Telegram where he says, you have to destroy the shit they love. You have to get MFF, this convention, Midwest Fur Fest, and all the other conferences closed down every period, single period, year period. Mm-hmm. So there's this understanding, like they know exactly like what they're hoping to do.
Yeah.
Which is like there was a part of me that was we talked to a number of people and we got some reactions from folks who were mainly in like, I don't care if they're here as long as they don't.
Right, there's a vibe here that is just sort of joyous and fun and lighthearted. Like, they're there to have fun. They're not there to do political things or, like, the stuff that Milo wants to do and push and talk about.
Well, they specifically talk about how this is an escape from political
stuff.
And it's like, and if he's going to show up, they say they feel the safety of their numbers, I think. Mm-hmm. Of the fact that like there's 10,000 people that attend this convention, whatever the number was,
and like 12 shitty ones,
and so, but you know, and we talked a lot about how, you know, they're very protective of their community and not accepting these people that are the outliers that are the, you know,
yeah, and it's interesting that that's the target, like just the little time we've spent. Of just like, but these people are very, they're only here for a nice time and they all seem sweet and like, they don't even want to talk about the stuff that you talk about.
No, they
like
they
all
really
the Milo
don't.
Stuff, like when he, like his feminism stuff and his like, all his like white nationalism garbage that he tries to bring in, they don't care and don't want to talk about it. That's not why they're here. And he's like forcing it in a way that is just really emblematic of like, who he is and what he's there to do. Because he sort of disappeared for a while for many, many reasons. But knowing that like 2020 is ramping up, like he needs attention. He needs to disrupt people having a good time, some of whom might give him what he wants, which is like to piss people off and like make a scene. Right. Because like even the idea of going in and having to like remove his head to like prove that it's him, that's going to cause a ruckus and a problem. And that's the only reason he wants to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the other things I ran into in that chat was people talking about, like, there was someone who made a post saying, I want to have a sweater custom printed that says Nazi furs. Don't fucking worry about it. Just have a good time and stay safe. But I knew I'd just be asking for trouble. So someone who wanted to make like a shirt explicitly saying like, I don't care if you're a Nazi.
Right.
And someone else commented that like, oh yeah, there were no politics, just fun ribbons printed out earlier and they went over poorly. And the way they're framing it is like, it's because these leftists want to make everything political. Mm. But like, I think both what we saw tonight and like kind of what you can read between the lines, there's like, no. You're the ones trying to make things political.
Yeah. Right.
Like you're like by framing it around Nazism, you're making it very clear. Like they don't care what you believe. If you don't make it clear, I am a Nazi and I'm going to be here.
Right.
Then you've made it political.
Right. As soon as you, you're wearing a, your fursona and it's a wolf or whatever, or it's a tiger
with a fucking swastika.
But it's got
a
swastika on. Yeah. That immediately, well, that's a political thing. Mm-hmm. You're doing it.
Right.
We're not doing it by not including you. You're doing it by bringing
it up. Yeah, it's inherently political. You're making it political. You're entering a non-political space.
Right. So all those stickers and those slogans, like, yeah, they would be cool with that because that's what they think. They agree.
And that there were kind of like, you know, I read through so many fucking posts of these fucking assholes. And like a third of them will be like normal, you know, furry stuff where they're like, look at this is a cute drawing of a whatever. This is a fun, you know, a animation of a, you know, animal thing. They have a bunch of different terms. I don't understand all of them. But it's like, I assume pretty normal furry stuff. It seems innocuous. And then there will be like there was a drawing of this Buddhist monk who's the head of an anti-Muslim terrorist group. And someone drew his fursona. Mm. And they were like, look at how cool this is. Like, this guy really removes some kebab, which is like an anti-Muslim meme that was like painted on the Christchurch shooters guy and stuff too. And it's like, and like Milo commented on a lot of this stuff and he liked a lot of the hardcore right-wing stuff, but he also liked a lot of the innocuous stuff. And there was these conversations we would have with people tonight where they were like, yeah, maybe like if he enjoys himself and he just wants to participate, none of us care.
No,
but it's like, he doesn't, because his whole thing, he has to make it political. Because if things aren't political, they can't be controversial. And if they're
not going to get him
people off. Yeah, exactly.
Right. If it's not giving attention, if it's not making a thing about it, then he doesn't care. But I do think like, yeah, just show up with your outfit. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. Nobody knows it's you. I bet you'd have a nice time because everyone's really, really nice.
But conversely, I don't think he'd have a nice time because no one would know him.
Because no one would know him. Exactly.
And that's his whole thing.
Yeah. It's a very interesting, weird dynamic that like part of me is like, I don't even want to talk about him now and like even talk about this.
I know,
this,
but
know?
We're here.
But we're here.
But we're here.
And everyone's so nice. And maybe
so
nothing
nice.
Will happen and that'll be great. It's also,
and the
there's
Airbnb
also,
had free wine.
They did.
That's
Katie
so
turned
lovely.
Off my burners.
It had to happen.
I will continue to turn off.
It's bad for the environment, Katie.
To have them on, yes.
No, to have them off.
Oh, interesting.
You have to burn up all of the natural gas so that we can get off of using natural gas.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
Honestly, I think I agree with both sides here.
Okay, of course
centrist.
You do.
Both sides have good points.
Centrist.
So we're going to keep the burners on medium. How's that?
Lyft says that I can go into my app. The best way to contact him would be to go into the app.
I swear to God, these people,
and
every
to, like,
time.
Do a pull-down menu, and then you can call him. I don't have
I love
the
that
app,
we came here planning to talk about Nazis and the real bad guys are Lyft.
The real bad guys are the Lyft people.
I mean, come
unbelievable.
On.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
I just use the app.
Download the app onto this
it
tablet.
It is wild. Like, because if you want to go, all right, we're not talking about the Fur Fest anymore. If you lose your phone and you want to go onto the website, Lyft.com, to report that you've lost your phone in the Lyft, you have to put in your phone number to log in. And when you put in your phone number, they say, we've sent you a text with a confirmation number that you have to put in the website, but you can't put in that confirmation number because you don't have your phone.
I'm very well aware.
It's wild. Like, it's like they did it on purpose. They know. They know what they're doing to
they're
you.
Collecting
they're
all
trying
the
to
phones.
Get attention, much like
they want attention. They want to get a rise out of you. No. They're trying to piss you off.
I actually think so. Here's why we're angrier about Lyft than we are even about Milo Yiannopoulos and his attempt to disrupt these lovely people just trying to have a fun
just
weekend.
Just delightful people.
Just wonderful people. And it's because as hateful as Milo's intentions are, at least he has intentions. And Lyft just doesn't care.
What do they do? Like they don't
they just
care
don't
all.
Care. And that's more infuriating.
Here's what the Twitter people got back to blah blah
oh,
blah.
Oh my goodness.
Looks like you're already in touch with Lost and Found team over email.
Oh,
we
great.
Assure you
this is gonna
that
go
they
good direction.
Are the best resource to look into oh, arranging the return of your phone.
Arranging. It sounds like a hostage.
It is a hostage situation. They're holding a hostage for $15.
It was 30 feet away when we started this process.
I realized it immediately. Immediately.
So, wait. So their solution is their
the original solution.
Lost and Found is going
to
email.
But they said, we can see they are currently reaching out to Conrad and he's been given your friend's phone number. Do you guys have your phones?
I've got
okay,
my phone
no. So they did something.
So that asshole is just ignoring it.
Maybe. Either that or they're lying.
Or they're lying, right.
Either way,
I'm probably buying myself a new phone tomorrow.
Stay tuned to hear more in the next episode of whatever the hell this winds up
this
becoming.
This truly is the worst year ever.
Now, before we go, predictions for tomorrow.
I'm going to buy a phone.
Cody?
I think it's going to be fine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... If he's here, I just don't think he has it in him.
I kind of, you know, there was a fact, part of me that was like frustrated not hearing more anger from people tonight. And there's a part of me that's like, maybe the best defeat he could get is if he shows up and a bunch
cares.
Of really friendly fairies are like, all right, if you're a dick, we'll make you leave.
That's the thing about it. We're like talking to people today and listening to them. That's the only vibe I got. Like from everybody. It's like, yeah, if he wants to show up and have fun, that's why we're here. We're here to have a good time with everybody and like
we're not
go to
gonna,
raves and like
we're not going
to
buy into whatever
yeah,
this bullshit
and like,
is.
If he's wearing a mask, who gives a shit?
Right.
Yeah.
And they're also aware that like he wants attention. He wants us to get mad.
Yeah.
His whole thing is to like poke you with stuff he doesn't believe in order to get a rise out of you. So people, et cetera, and so forth. And I think that enough people are onto him and don't care. That's the thing. The laughter and not caring is like the worst thing you can do to these people.
I hope that the ultimate, like final, you know, defanging of what's left of Milo Yiannopoulos is done by a bunch of furries who are just too nice to rise to his bait.
Yeah,
I think that's really possible.
I really feel like this is like a real. Sputtering end to his
it's not an inspiring one.
It's just but it is inspiring to me just to spin it positive, that general attitude there and the positivity that I did feel in this community.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot we can learn from that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like he has sputtered for a long time. He's floundered. He's got some issues. He's got some problems. Mm-hmm. He loves his extravagant seeming lifestyle. And it does seem like his last grasp at relevance is to go to a group of people who are only here for a really nice time and to make them mad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he will be able to do that.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Well, we'll check back in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cody Johnston,
mm-hmm.
Robert Evans,
mm-hmm.
Katie Stoll, and mm-hmm. her probably new phone.
All right, bye.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
So we're back. This is the second day of our diary. We just recorded a great thing. Content you'll never hear because Katie fucked up.
I fucked up, guys. I'm so sorry.
Now, we opened the last one. The good one, with a freestyle rap by Cody that mm-hmm. was, I think, perfect.
Yeah, brilliant. It was.
And I think the only possible way for you to show your contrition, Katie, is for you to open this worse audio diary with a freestyle rap. Cody, would you lay a beat down?
Get the fuck out of here.
That is not a beat. That's a time machine noise. You have to stop it.
Boo, ba, ba, ba. Boo, ba,
no,
ba,
stop that, it. No, I'd rather beat. Not have
that's,
it.
That's a
okay,
beat.
Okay, look. Look, I'm really, really sorry. I don't know what happened. I thought I was recording, and it turns out I wasn't, so now I'm rapping. I hate it. I don't want to be doing it either, but here we go. We're going to talk about something we picked up in the ether of FurCon.
FurFest.
FurFest. Was that okay?
No,
it was perfect because you wrote it ahead of time, right? You wrote it last week.
She spent months
on this.
I think I just discovered a hidden talent.
Turned down thousands of dollars worth of jobs.
I swear to God, it was recording, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't believe in God, but I thought it was, and now here we are.
Well, speaking of hidden talons, birds, animals, FurFest.
FurFest,
nailed it.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're here to talk about. We don't want to talk about my phone that I found.
Oh, I think we absolutely have to.
Okay.
We do because the last episode you slandered a good man repeatedly. We all
so
did.
Look.
Yes.
We all did.
We
all
immediately attacked the.
We piled on. We piled on.
I guess I just ruined the story, but I was really upset. I was gonna, you know,
shameful.
Chill out for a second, and I said, and all of a sudden I was like, well, why don't we go check the ground where we got out of the car. So the boys went down and found
the boys
my
who were
phone.
Blameless in this.
Blameless.
We're going to get to that. The boys went down and found my phone in the middle of the road. In the middle of the road.
Saw it from very far away.
Look, it took no time at all.
Walked
look,
out.
If we had spent 4 seconds
in my defense,
extra after realizing you didn't have your phone, looking around on the ground, 4 seconds, at most, we would have found it.
Instead of resignedly being like, well, I got to go inside and try to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Because who would have thought that it was on the ground outside the car?
You would have.
Hours later.
So, okay, I apologize. The point still stands. Lyft's policy is unbelievable.
It wasn't good customer service.
So if you had lost your phone... And if it was not on the ground, just calling to you.
I still wouldn't have it.
It still would have been really, really hard. You still would have had to log into the website by giving your phone number and receiving a text on a phone you didn't have.
On the website, and we are going to get to FurFest, I promise you, but on the website, when I'm trying to track down my phone, it says the best way to get your phone back is to open the app and find the driver's profile and contact the driver. I don't have the phone to do that. Anyway, yeah. The boys are blameless in that, except that they're blameless. You're blameless. You have no responsibility. I take the responsibility. What you do have responsibility for, and honestly, both of you, because shame on you, Cody. Robert,
it was really mostly his fault.
Burned down
wait
the house.
A second, wait Not a second, almost wait a second,
burned
a second.
It down.
Robert keeps turning on all the burners on full blast in the kitchen and lighting paper towels on fire. And when he and Cody go down to find my phone, he brings a burning paper towel out with him. And
a wad
of them.
A wad of them.
And is surprised when they catch on fire all the way and burn his hand. And he drops it on the wooden stairs in this house.
Walking downstairs saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it.
If I'm honest, the instant I made the decision to walk down the stairs with you, I knew I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
It was very obvious.
Yeah, you're holding fire in your hand.
So, Cody, you are full of blame for allowing this to happen.
It's really mostly his fault when you think about it.
I agree with you completely.
I picked up your phone from the ground and I handed it to you. And I stomped on the embers that were on the rug of the stairs after Robert brought fire outside.
Very little damage.
Also,
very little damage.
I don't know if you recall all of the fire alarms going off.
Oh yeah, that happened.
The smoke detectors.
Well, that was a different thing I lit.
It
on
was
fire.
A different fire you lit.
It was also a paper towel. No, it was my box of corn pops.
That's when I put a box of cereal on top of the lit burner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
different situation.
I just want you all to be comforted and know that we are conducting ourselves with the utmost professionalism here.
Everything
in Chicago.
We've done, losing the phone, starting several fires, drinking very heavily, all of that. We pulled right out of NPR's style guidelines handbook.
Yes.
Everything to the book.
Yeah.
What's an NPR person? Ira Glass.
Ira Glass.
Ira Glass told us to act. Terry Gross can't stop starting fires.
I know.
She burned down Chicago in 1898.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Terry Gross.
I did not know that.
Look it up. Yeah.
Look it
she
up.
She looks wonderful for her age.
Oh, she does. She does.
Shall we talk about the Fur Fest?
Yeah, we probably ought
to. Probably.
That's why we're here. Yeah. We did it on the first recording we tried. So I think we should do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the reason we're doing this that we don't know what we'll do with it.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked all the people we met. I'd be interested, Katie, in kind of hearing you sort of summarize our day, and then we can kind of dig into things with a little more detail.
You want me to lay down a beat, or
yes, please.
Okay. Please don't.
Go. Okay.
Maybe some time machine noises. We are talking about
I can't
the past.
Do that. Yeah.
We got up. We made coffee. It took us a while to get out the house, but not too bad. We went to. Can you stop?
You really can't.
Unacceptable. Okay. Unacceptable. Both of you. You're impossible. Where's Sophie when you need her? Mm. She really keeps this train on track.
And not on fire.
She would not. Have stood
she would
for
have
that.
Helped me light them.
Oh, Robert.
She would have clapped.
And
then everybody clapped.
So we got to Fur Fest and we met up with one of your sources.
One of my sources. Our
we
sources.
Had an interview and
there are sources.
There are
now.
Sources, guys.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
And we realized Robert forgot the recorder.
Yeah, that was an error. That was a tactical error.
Because the recorder, there was a recorder, we've got two here, sitting on the table, and they're next to the pouch.
They're identical.
I said, Robert, is there a recorder in that pouch? Do we need to put it in? And you said, yep, it's in there. And I said, are you sure? He said, yep. And it wasn't in there.
I do have to say.
I'm sorry, I threw you under the bus.
No. That was my and Cody's fault.
I take full half responsibility.
So
I do want to say, though, they're not identical.
Right.
There is one of them, and listeners, you can guess which one. The place where the card goes, covered in knife marks.
That's how Robert opens it.
Clearly, it has been knifed open many, many times over its career.
So anyway.
No comment.
Neither of those are in the bag. And we are in this busy hallway. You'll hear one of these interviews, I'm sure, in the other episode of this. And we don't have a recorder, so we use Robert's iPhone. And we're like crouched
it's
over
not an
weird.
IPhone.
I'm sorry, Robert's phone.
It's a Galaxy, right?
It's a phone.
His fucking
phone,
you guys.
It's a cell phone.
And we're crouched over these weird packing boxes. recording, and it was a fascinating interview. Just constantly being interrupted by people walking down, wheeling things, big loud music going on and off in the dance room.
Yeah, there was a thumping part of the interview.
So,
there was clearly a rave that started above us. So
we did our best, but it was a fascinating interview.
What did she talk about in brief?
What did she talk about? We talked a lot about the alt-right furry community or that faction, about the attack from 2014.
Sort of how the community has risen to kind of defend itself.
Yeah, and she herself has done a lot of work creating policies and helping weed out these members of the community. And I think it's a little bit of unsung work that a lot of people don't really know that's happening.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why they've been able to push back against, against those kinds of elements, over the last couple of years. So it was really fascinating. I mean, lots of other stuff that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And then we were starving.
Well, before that,
I
went home to get the recorder.
I took a Lyft all the way home to get a recorder.
Yep.
And then
Cody
back.
And I registered. Yeah. We got our badges.
Got our badges.
And Cody's, shortly after this, Cody and I, you were still heading
back. I know it's about to happen.
We went to the dealer room and we picked up. It was a very exciting moment.
I can't. I'm still buzzing.
Cody's very first lanyard.
Got a lanyard. I got a lanyard.
Cody got a lanyard.
We spent a combined $45 on lanyards.
They're really nice looking. They're really sturdy.
They're very good lanyards. Handmade, beautiful, very nice lady made them.
Yeah. When I bought mine, she was like, "This is the one I have." Mm-hmm. And the one that
All
I
right,
use.
Then.
So you know it's good. The first of many. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to be so full of lanyards, you're not going to know which direction's left, which direction's right, because it's just going to be lanyards.
I still don't have a lanyard, and I'm okay with it.
You chose not to spend money on a lanyard for an inexplicable reason.
No, I kept it
in
my wallet. I didn't spend $25 or whatever.
It's okay. You'll get dozens.
For free. So then I met up with you guys once I got my pass. Then we decided to get... lunch.
A little before you met up with us.
Before.
Cody, you want to tell the story of the mystery
poop? Before. Just a little before. We were walking in the dealer room and looking at the products and things you can get. A lot of bowls of dice.
A lot of bowls of dice. I'm going to guess, as I said earlier, that the Venn diagram of people at the convention and people who play a lot of D&D is just a circle.
It's just a circle.
Yeah.
Everybody games. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody poops.
Yeah.
And as we were walking around,
yeah.
We see that the line, the sort of, you're shuffling along, is sort of veering off to the left. And then you see a woman on a chair and she's sort of waving people around. And then something fills your nostrils a little bit. And you're like, well, that's unique.
that's good.
That's a unique, specific smell. And there was just sort of poop smeared in a bit of a circle, like skids across, maybe like... 5 by 5 feet area.
It was smeared over.
It
was not a huge quantity of poop, but it was smeared over a wide area.
It seemed like maybe it happened, and then that person kept going, and then another person didn't see it, and then noticed it, and then they took care of it.
And it was, we're all dog owners.
Yes.
Cat owners.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was not an animal's.
It was not an animal's.
Well, humans are animals. It was a human's
poop. It was
human's
poop.
It was absolutely
It was distinctly
human poop.
Yeah. A human's poop.
No doubt.
So that happens.
But that was also, there was a nonchalance about it.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, okay. And they moved along. It happened. And there's
nobody,
no judgment,
nobody,
you know?
No judgment.
I mean,
nobody left.
I sense a little bit of judgment, but.
No, they dealt,
from
they
you
were dealing
guys
with
right
the problem.
Now.
It's funny because it's poop. It's poop.
It's poop.
I'm not going to not laugh about it.
It's something
poop.
Everybody does, as we've discussed.
As we've does, and it's funny. But there was no judgment.
Okay.
It's especially funny because, all these people in the fursuits. Mm-hmm.
There were dogs walking around, but it wasn't
There's
a dog.
Dogs. It was
okay, so
dogs.
Then we decide to go get lunch. Lovely timing. and we walk to this place, and it turns out to be pretty fancy. It's a pretty expensive meal.
It's a little fancy.
Robert ordered many drinks. You both ordered many drinks.
I think the fanciest place we have been collectively
in
certainly. Roughly a cumulative half of one of our lifetimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a funny thing happened with... Is this interesting to you guys? I hope so.
They're going to listen or
this
not.
This was the day.
I'll never forget. Let's see if it scans as funny. But Robert and Cody both ordered the lobster bisque.
Mm-hmm. Very fancy.
And this place is just hoity-toity.
It's fancy when we sit down and they don't just give us our water. They ask if we want ice water, Perrier, or Fiji.
Yeah, so that's what we're working with. But Robert's...
Also, we walk in and they ask for our coats.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, thank you. And we got some looks.
They
were very disappointed that we were going to be dining there.
But so Robert's eating, they're eating their soup, and the maitre d' or whomever walks up and leans over his shoulder and he says, "Excuse me, sir, is there something wrong with your soup spoon?"
Points to the soup spoon that Robert's not using. He's using
the other spoon.
Which, let's be fair, is a soup spoon.
Every spoon's a soup spoon.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I was so taken aback by someone asking me that question.
No, this one's fine.
It was the most passive-aggressive, fancy thing.
I was clearly enjoying my
imaginable
food.
Yeah. Somebody, like, God wrote that moment.
It just felt like a really, it was a very funny juxtaposition between this community of loving people doing whatever and a free expression.
When somebody shits on the ground,
walking around
even gives them a hard time.
And then
just
to this place.
Yes. Sir, was something wrong with your
But the food
spoon?
Was delicious, mm-hmm. So there's that.
It was good.
It was
anyway,
good. Didn't like that waiter.
Didn't like the waiter. But that's okay, he didn't like us.
I wish, in retrospect, I had said, yes, there's a hole in it. It's very tiny.
But I know it's there.
I am aware.
Oh, you should have said, yes, it's filthy. Bring me another one.
Then after that, we went back to the convention. We wandered around a bunch, did a lot of interacting and watching, observing.
We went to the art room.
We went to the art room. Mm-hmm. We went to the arcade room.
We went to the game room.
We went to the game room.
We saw some Dungeons and Dragons briefly.
The Dungeons and Dragons.
And then we had another interview. We ended up coming back and we had a Skype interview. So it was a very full day.
Very full day.
I'm just blown away by this community, to get back to what we're here to talk about.
Yes.
And I've said this before, it's just so loving and welcoming and creative, and the suits are all really quite exquisite. I mean, when you think about how much craftsmanship goes into it, and the more you talk to people, you realize how deeply personal each suit is to them, and how their personas are a reflection of themselves, that a lot of people say that they don't feel like they can be their full selves in their normal life, but here they can be.
Because the world's garbage.
Because the world's garbage, but here they're safe and free. Mm-hmm. And you feel that everywhere you go. It's like a markedly different vibe in there versus out in the real world.
And it was interesting because there's clearly these attempts to bring some of that toxicity into the community with there was a chlorine gas attack that, you know, part of what we were doing here was kind of investigating, because we heard initially some different things. Some people said it was probably an accident. Some people said
it was not an accident.
Intentional. Some people said it was intentional, but not a terrorist attack. I think our conclusion, without spoiling the main show, is that it was definitely a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
It was done on purpose.
It was done on purpose by a member of the community who subscribed to fringe political beliefs that were not common among the others. And there has been a corresponding effort by people within the community to defend their fandom from this sort of fringe, racist, xenophobic, hateful Nazis. It's Nazi
stuff.
Yeah,
they're Nazis, basically.
They're Nazis.
Boil it down. And that's what
Boil
them all.
Boil the Nazis. Cody Johnston, 2020.
There it is.
I would vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
Beats no malarkey.
Boil the Nazis.
Boil the Nazis.
God, wouldn't that be good
make
on a
bus? Make a nice bouillabaisse.
Yeah.
Is that how you make bouillabaisse? Boiling Nazis?
Yep. Bisque. That is how. It's a Russian dish. No, it's French. They did not make much bouillabaisse.
But that's... No. They made it out of, like, Nazi bodies.
They didn't kill a lot of Nazis.
They didn't kill a lot. That's why it was such a delicacy for so long.
That's why another group of people had to make borscht out of Nazis.
Yep.
Yeah, we saw like a really resilient community defending itself. And that was or you know, the interviews revealed that. Our experience at the convention revealed a lot of people getting something they very much needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the overwhelmingly, just the overwhelmingly positive environment and for that, and knowing that there are these people sort of trying to infiltrate it and organizing and trying to protect it in a way that like their methods seem healthy and positive. I imagine we're going to talk about it, include this later on, but like even like reaching out to these people and trying to help them, everybody there is just really,
yeah,
like I like all the hugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hugs. Something we touched on in the first Lost recording.
Yeah.
It is incredible. You're walking around and you just see everybody's giving each other hugs, and not just like quick hugs. We're talking about big, long, loving hugs,
lingering hugs,
and that's, it's all part of it. It's just so much love, and I think that. I wanted hugs. Yeah. I wanted to ask people for hugs, yeah. And I didn't
were doing it, it seemed like you were saying, like a lot of these personas are aspects of their personality they don't feel comfortable expressing.
Right.
They don't feel like they're themselves necessarily. But when they're in their fursuits, they can express that. And a lot of it seemed like you're not necessarily a physical person. You don't show a lot of like physical intimacy between people. I mean, you're not comfortable being touched, but when you're in that outfit, that's when you allow yourself to. So there are a lot of hugs that like they do linger.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was like, oh, you haven't hugged somebody in a long time.
Yeah. This is when you do that.
This is when you, yeah, exactly. And yeah, it was just really nice to see every like 20 feet, you'd be like, oh, look.
And I hugging. Just, and I liked every time that we were walking around with somebody that we were, had been talking with or whatever.
Tons of friends.
And running into people that they haven't seen in a long time, and just the love and the joy. It truly is.
It reminded me a lot of my own subculture,
yeah.
Which I talked about a little bit. I do a lot of regional Burning Man events, which are quite different from the big one, down in Texas particularly. And there's a lot of hugging. There's like essentially an airlock, a camp that greets you when you enter, when you get on the land, which is always, you know, out in the boonies, away from civilization, and nearly always starts with like hugs and people in costumes, naked people, this sort of like immediate like blitz of all the things that are different about where you are than the place you came from, and people welcome you home. And it's very much the same energy, and I think fulfills pretty similar roles. And that was kind of one of the things that was surprising to me, was recognizing, this is sort of their way of fulfilling, like in, you know, my community, we light a lot of fires. We blow a lot of things up.
Fires. Okay.
Mm, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Way more than the ones I started the other night.
And you feel safe doing that in that environment.
Yeah. And in fact, there's always like a full fire department worth of volunteers who are actually firefighters who just are, that's a, another thing they do. Is
so just suggesting the rest that of maybe that's be... a good place to do fires instead of in an Airbnb. And...
Katie, I challenge you to name a single person who's been harmed by a fire.
So many people.
But not name one.
The girl down the street from me when I was a kid. I can't remember her name.
Exactly.
I believe Sir earlier.
Stacy Solar.
That's a made up name.
That's a made up name. Earlier today, Robert Evans said his hand hurt.
I said for some reason.
For some reason.
And we don't know the reason.
We haven't fully explored that.
We haven't fully explored
the ongoing investigation on why Robert's hand hurts.
Inconclusive as to this moment.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, your subculture, Robert.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think what we might find exploring some of these subcultures, at least the ones that are not inherently toxic, because I think most of the ones we're going to hang out in,
yeah,
you know, CPAC, the conservative, like a lot of them will be very toxic. I think the ones that aren't, maybe a lot of the ones that are, I think we will see a lot of similar things, because I do think there's a lot of different, like what we're seeing with the hugging and the touching and the kind of intimacy. And not just the intimacy between like friends, but just sort of the intimacy as an aspect of culture here, is kind of a reaction that I think a lot of different subcultures have to the impersonal and like touch averse, emotion averse, connection averse nature of the civilization that we all built for some reason.
And we're all isolated.
Yeah.
We're all like really connected, but also isolated and lonely. And,
so many of us go around without having been touched in a long time.
It is way easier on a daily basis, especially when like I'm not hanging out at home.
where I like know people, it's way easier for me to get into a long fight on Twitter than it is to get a hug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a reality. I think that's true for a lot of people listening to this. Hopefully not most of you, I hope.
Yeah.
But a lot of people. And I think that one of the things that we learned about surviving the worst year ever is that shit like that needs to be more common for everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
More common and promoted and and celebrated. And because also one thing that I think we touch on a lot is these sort of toxic subcultures that infiltrate these other areas, they're suffering from the same thing. And that's something that I think we like, that we don't really recognize much, because it's hard, because like we're talking about Nazis, but like we all, like it's all suffering from the same problems. It's just dealing with them in different ways.
Even the Nazis, you know, the reason that those communities draw people in is their ability to make up for holes.
Exactly. You find these vulnerable people feel disconnected. They don't have the group. They don't have that positive subculture. They don't have like a family or all these sort of things that we all suffer from in different ways and deal with them in different ways. And so you have these people that prey on them, but then there is that connection that can be made to sort of bring people back and promoting that positivity and giving openness and space to people who need it, I think can help in the de-radicalization, but also in getting through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More getting through. One of the people we talked to one person who did de-radicalization work. And part of what she mentioned is like being helpful in that was trying to make connections with people about areas of shared interest. And she'd clearly done that with some people who are like, to some extent, down that kind of, you know, is more commonly called like the alt-right or the far-right pipeline. And she chose to do that work, and she had seen some failure and some success with it. We talked to somebody else who was like, you know, I've tried a little bit of that from time to time, but I you know, if I'm going to spend that energy, because it does take energy, I'm going to spend it on like a member of like, you know,
marginalized communities. Who's
in the marginalized and needs my effort and also deserves it more.
Time and patience and effort. Like there's a lot that goes into it.
And, you know, I can't fault him on that for sure.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's right. I mean, it's exhausting work.
Yeah, it's easy.
But, you know, you do what you can. You can also read the room and read a situation and be like, this person is more likely to be receptive to...
There's some people that are even like early on where you're like, oh, you're like a young kid and you're heading down this path, but come here and talk
about
something.
You're not too far. You haven't done anything you can't take back yet.
I just
exactly. As opposed to like, okay, well now in this situation, I would rather help this person and say, fuck Nazis than the other, you know?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
It just struck me that this is a shining example of how to survive the worst year ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, you find your space and you throw yourself in it and you protect it and you love it and you embrace it and you find the people and the group, the groups that allow you to be your authentic self and celebrate you, who you are, and each other. And it was touching.
Yeah.
Everything was sweet.
Everything was sweet and protective, it seemed.
Yeah. Protective, like a big friendly womb.
Yeah.
With $14 cocktails, which really, you know, coming from Los Angeles isn't gouged.
Yeah.
It's
not great, but
not great. I'm not gonna say it's great, but it was people were smuggling it or just walking in with alcohol too.
Yeah.
So
also just the aspect of all this sort of stuff and realizing like, oh, this is something they've learned over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a very unique culture and fandom.
Let's face it, we were all making fun of them for years.
Everybody,
years.
And they've been dealing with like Nazis for years and years, and have sort of honed that skill a little bit. And I think there's just a lot to learn. I think from the love that their weird love.
Yeah,
they're weird. But wholesome and endearing and thoroughly admirable love.
Yeah, it's what what Dio said. We're strange.
Dio's one of the people we talked to.
We're strange, but we're strange together.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I like that line. Closing out. You guys gonna get fursuits?
Cody's already got
I'm
one.
I'm wearing one right now.
What do you think your fursona would be if you had a gun to your head?
Tiger.
Mouse.
I was also going to say monkey.
Maybe bunny.
Bunny. You've been doing bunny stuff.
I think I wag that tail. Mm-hmm.
Think a husky dog.
Husky dog?
Yeah.
No, I know what I'm getting you guys for Christmas.
Aww.
$5,000 fur suits. Not cheap, guys.
Just make
no, they're incredibly expensive. Yeah, they're expensive.
They take a lot of time and care.
Used cars, yeah.
Some take like years to make.
Yeah, like, seems like they do. Yeah. Cool. Well, this has been Video Diary 2, our last video diary. Yeah,
the worst journal ever.
It's not a video, it's a podcast, but whatever. Is there a difference? Splitting hairs.
People, wait, are you fucking telling me that people can't see the things
they
put out?
They can't see it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This has been such a long journey of disappointment.
Oh.
When you were told... Never mind.
My gestures are such a critical part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He gestures wildly.
That's why I really enjoy guesting on Behind the Bastards. Mm-hmm. But like listening to him, like, what's he doing with his hands?
And just so
I'm
you
flipping
guys
everyone off all
the
time.
I've been
constantly
there.
It's nothing but middle fingers.
Robert is sitting here playing with a knife. That he's not going to throw.
He's brandishing the knife.
Brandishing is such a strong
it's
word.
It's very strong. You're right.
I'm gently gesturing.
He's gesticulating with a knife. And you can't throw anything here. And I'm not saying...
thrown anything except for the burning wad of fire that I...
And that was more of a drop.
That was more of a drop. Flung it a little. I was aiming for the door.
You dropped it it was hot.
Yeah.
It was very hot.
It was really hot.
This has been fun, guys. I'm looking forward to doing more of these.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what?
Not this weekend. I'm tired, but...
Yep.
I was just going to say see ya, but yeah, I agree.
I also will agree with you completely and say see ya.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's going to get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.